That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We welcome you to the Radio Ranch. Here it is, the 10th day of November 2018, and just a beautiful sunrise coming up, just a few clouds to the south, and getting some beautiful rays of sunrise rolling through here. Let's welcome our men down in Colorado. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, the remnant, for joining us, not only in Colorado, but in the parts of California that aren't burning up, and in Florida and Georgia and up in Connecticut and Texas and all over. We welcome you and we thank you for joining in, and we'll have the phone lines open up in a little bit and certainly have some current events to talk about, and we'll go as the Spirit leads. But Jason, would you open us up in prayer this morning, sir?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, I come before you and just ask for your blessing upon this morning's broadcast, Father. We pray that you lead us, guide us, and direct us in the direction we are to go. We just cry out to you, Father, for you to save us, Father, for you to save us from the hands of our enemies and all who hate us, that you guide us and direct us, that you strengthen us, that you encourage us, that you give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, Father, and that you just allow our enemies to be brought down lower and lower as your people rise higher and higher. We cry out to you, our King, our Lord, our Savior, our Deliverer, for you to save us once again. God, save America again. We cry out, Father, for that. We desire that. We desire that to happen in our land, and we just beseech your blessing upon us, Father, this day, Father, and for this land, Father, as we repent of our sins, known and unknown, plead the blood of Jesus Christ, not only over us, but over our families, but over this land as well, Father. We ask that this land be a God-fearing land that serves you and worships you once again. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we will have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913. If you'd like to call in, if you have a question or a comment, and we'll do that. Had the election this past week, and there were some, I would say, some positive outcomes, and then there were probably some outcomes that were less than positive. Here we are. And kind of the question is, so what do we do now? And I think we do, as 1 Timothy 2:1 says, we pray. We continue to pray for our leaders. We pray for those that are in authority, that, like it says, so that we can lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. And, there's a time for that, I think. When the righteous are in authority, Proverbs 29:2 says, the people rejoice. And that's not really taught, unfortunately. But that is the end result. But it goes on and says, but when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. And I know there's going to be some states where the wicked have been put in power, and the people that are righteous, the people that are wanting to lead a tranquil and quiet life, are going to be mourning. There's going to be that.
Well, the most important thing, and if you look at what President Trump concentrated on, it was Senate races, key Senate races. Some of the people who were dethroned have been there for many, many years, and the Democrats basically, once again, arrogantly, boldly proclaiming that there's no way that those people could be defeated. Well, they were, and the fact that we held the Senate is significant. The fact that we gained seats so that we can't be held hostage for things like Supreme Court appointments. And I think it's not a coincidence that the day after the election, where the Republicans held the Senate and gained, should be, 4 seats, the Democrats are trying to steal 2 right now. But anyways, Ruth Bader Ginsburg falls, breaks her hip,
yes,
and gets some cracked ribs. I mean, that's not coincidence, in my opinion. And there's the real possibility of our president having the opportunity to appoint not one more, but even 2 more to the Supreme Court. So that's significant.
Amen. Amen.
I think one of the most brilliant moves that he made was, while the Democrats were celebrating their win to take over the House, he fired the AG Sessions. I mean, he didn't fire him. He actually asked for his resignation, which was even better, and he didn't contest it. He gave the resignation, and I think it was pretty brilliant as far as taking the wind out of their sails. And I was reading an article here this week about the books that President Donald Trump has read over the years, and how, you know, basically what he says guides him in a lot of the decisions that he makes. And one of those books is a book Jason knows well, and Pastor Peters knew well, and Pastor Peter's son Monty knew very well, and it's The Art of War by Sun Tzu. And this was kind of interesting that the author of this article went back and found these Trump tweets, and there's a list of them, but the first one was, the supreme art of war is to subdue the enemy without fighting, which is a quote in the book. And then, if you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the results of 100 battles. And then, he who defends everywhere defends nowhere.
We've sure seen that, haven't we?
Basically, well, what the previous administration did, if you look at it, with the abomination and Hillary Clinton as the Secretary of State, we went into all of those countries, Libya and Syria and all these other countries, and all we did was we spread our military thin. We created the illegal alien is what it is, but I don't know what they call it, the politically correct term, the refugee crisis. And it's all was designed just to thin out our military. I mean, if you look at now, we're still fighting in Afghanistan with pretty large numbers, I think, of pretty much our best infantry. And the fact that they're there and not here opens up our country for invasion. And there's some signs of some cooperation between Russia and China right now, too. But some of these other quotes are, there is no instance of a nation benefiting from prolonged warfare based on 20-some years in Afghanistan. And then, he who knows when he can fight and when he cannot will be victorious. And these are all quotes from the book by Sun Tzu, The Art of War. Invincibility lies in the defense, the possibility of victory in the attack. And anyways, I just thought it was interesting. I suppose we have enough time, but there was a speech that President Trump did in 2016 before the presidential election that's extremely significant, and I did not see it back then. I don't know if anybody else did, but there's a video of it as well. But the transcription of it pretty much tells the story. I think I'll take a minute and just go through that. It says, our movement is about replacing a failed and corrupt. Now, when I say corrupt, I'm talking about totally corrupt political establishment with a new government controlled by you, the American people. There is nothing the political establishment will not do. No lie they won't tell to hold their prestige and power at your expense. And that's what's been happening. The Washington establishment and the financial and media corporations that fund it exist for only one reason: to protect and enrich itself. For those who control the levels of power in Washington and for the global special interests, they partner with these people that don't have your good in mind. Our campaign represents a true existential threat like they haven't seen before. This is not simply another four-year election. This is a crossroads in the history of our civilization that will determine whether or not we, the people, reclaim control over our government. The political establishment that is trying to stop us is the same group responsible for our disastrous trade deals, massive illegal immigration, and economic and foreign policies that have bled our country dry. The Clinton machine is at the center of this power structure. We've seen this firsthand in the WikiLeaks documents in which Hillary Clinton meets in secret with international banks to plot the destruction of U.S. sovereignty in order to enrich these global financial powers. Likewise, the emails show that Clinton's machine is so closely and irrevocably tied to the media organizations that she, listen to this, is given a question and answers in advance of her debate performance with Bernie Sanders. The most powerful weapon deployed by the Clintons is the corporate media, the press. Let's be clear on one thing. The corporate media in our country is no longer involved in journalism. They are political special interests, no different than any lobbyist or other financial entity with a total political agenda. And the agenda is not for you, it's for themselves. And their agenda is to elect crooked Hillary Clinton at any cost, at any price, no matter how many lives are destroyed. For them, it's war. And for them, nothing at all is out of bounds. This is a struggle for the survival of our nation. Believe me, and this will be our last chance to save it on November 8th. Remember that. This election will determine whether we are a free nation or whether we have only the illusion of democracy, but are in fact controlled by a small handful of global special interests rigging the system and our system is rigged. This is reality. You know it. They know it. I know it. Pretty much the whole world knows it. The establishment and their media enablers will control over this nation through means that are very well known. Anyone who challenges their control is deemed a sexist, a racist, a xenophobe, a homophobe, and morally deformed. They will attack you. They will slander you. They will seek to destroy your career and your family. They will seek to destroy everything about you, including your reputation. They will lie, 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 and then again, they will do worse than that. They will do whatever is necessary. The Clintons are criminals. Remember that. They're criminals. And anyways, that was a pretty significant speech, in my opinion, back in 2016, exposing what
Amen.
It is we're actually fighting against.
And we're seeing some of that in the physical now. We're seeing, you know, how these left-wing antichrists, what do? They're running people out of restaurants. They're going to senators and to people's homes and harassing their families and you know, things like that. And how, I mean, they go to congressional baseball, softball games and pull weapons and fire and shoot people. We're seeing just what you read, John. I think we've seen it since then in the last 2 years, the beginning of it anyway. You know, bear its fruit. We see the what is it up to? I forget how many attacks on President Trump supporters. You know, you have somebody sitting in a McDonald's with a "Make America Great" hat again, and people come in and start beating up on him. Rip, taking their hats off, throwing Cokes on them. Not just one incident in San Diego, but all over the country. I think that even hit close to home, didn't it? With the
Well, you know, while Trump plays by Sun Tzu's The Art of War, the enemy plays by Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals.
Rules for Radicals, yes.
And that's what we're witnessing. If you look around you,
things that we're seeing too is right now. I mean, it's not over this fight for Florida or Arizona.
No,
you know, and that's. I mean, if you've seen tweets over the last couple of days, he's calling for a recount in the state of Arizona and possibly Florida also. And you know, that could be huge. I mean, they're having, you know, it's the same thing that they did back when Bush and Gore were running for the state of Florida. We had that recount, and it's playing out the almost the exact same way. It's really interesting because it's like there's nothing new under the sun.
Right.
County, same towns, missing ballots. All the Republican ballots ended up missing. People not reporting the way they were supposed to on the process. You know, they're supposed to be given hourly reports on when the election's coming in, and there was none of that. And then there was boxes of them, boxes and boxes of Republican votes that were just that appeared in a landfill. You know, it's warfare. Same thing in Arizona, and there's, I mean, because there's a lot of places that are like, hey, we don't have that many people registered voters in this county, and all of a sudden they're reporting twice, three times as many votes, which equals a lot. I mean, when you're talking county by county. So it's I think that's really interesting, and it's really interesting because back in when the Bush and Gore days, where I'm trying to remember what year that was, it was Florida and Arizona also. It was the two states that that they were fighting over.
Wow. Yeah. Nothing new under the sun, huh?
Amen. Amen to that. Well, they're
really
key states. Those are key states.
What's really irritating is the fact that this woman who's in charge of this election, whatever it is, it's reprobation is what it is, but they call it something else. But anyways, she's been caught with her hand in the cookie jar before. And really, the reality is the only reason that some of these people who are criminals, been exposed as criminals over the 8 years of the abomination, was because the Attorney General and the Department of Justice never filed charges against any of these people because they were benefiting them. I think it's
it's key that right before the election, I don't know if you saw that, but President Trump was tweeting out and putting out on the news and things that anyone who is caught cheating in this election, whether it be Republican or Democrat, will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. And I believe that they will. So, but here's the thing. You know, there was a time where you had periods of intense prayer, and then you might have some kind of reprieve and stuff. There is no reprieve anymore. This spiritual warfare battle is going on, and the ones that are going to win are the ones that are more faithful to their God, whether it's the children of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or it's the children of the devil that follow the God of this world. That's really where we're at.
Amen.
Well, and the thing to remember, too, is one of the reasons or one of the ways that they get close to their God is by blood sacrifice.
Yep.
And we've sure seen that.
Keep your guard up on that also.
That's right. That's right.
It's I was looking at some stuff this week, and it was I believe it was second grade class, and there were some children, I don't know what state it was in, but they had put down on the one of the questions, it was questions, you know, how they have a question that's written out and then there's a blank space. And the question was, someone who loves their country is a blank. And there was a lot of people, children, that had put answers in, and the child that got the correct answer was the one that wrote in their Democrat. And that's what they're being taught in the public school system,
yes,
is that Democrats are the ones that care for their country. And, you know, I mean, you talk about, you know, you talk about lies and deception. They're not the ones that care for their country. They're the ones that hate their country. They're the ones that hate their fellow man. You know, I used to have that, you know, that opinion that there wasn't much difference between a Republican and a Democrat, but that there's been lines drawn there, and that's changed.
Absolutely. Just in this year.
Colorado, and we went to, you know, these demon rats that have taken over here. I mean, they don't care for their country, and they don't care for their fellow man. They care for themselves, and they seek destruction. But yeah. I thought that was really interesting that they even have that, and that the children are being taught that at such an early age, you know, even in the grade schools.
Yes.
Right. Well, who's to say that they didn't cheat in this state, too, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, well, because I know we've won our county, you know, hands down. But...
Yeah, but I don't know a single person that... Well, at least I don't, that admit at least that they voted for Polis. You know?
Right. I don't either.
And you look at the numbers, and it was like... I think the numbers reported, they were very close. 51% to 46%, something like that. You know, and those are very close numbers, and a lot of the elections were that way. Even up here in our local county and stuff, there were many elections that were decided by a couple hundred votes, you know, and and it was like that down there. But you know, this, like you mentioned, Polis, I guess he's been a representative down there, and it's been Denver that's elected him, you know, to that for the last, what, since 2009, I think he's been in there. I think it really shows that it's similar to here in Wyoming. It's like you have two different parts of the state, and how many times have we heard of that from California as well? You know, you have two different parts of the state. You have the metro Denver area that are those left-wing liberals that have moved out of California and tried to make Colorado into that, and that's who's elected him. Yeah, that, well, in some of your front range bigger cities, Boulder and those type places that have you know, that have elected this openly queer with his partner raising a couple children. I mean, it's filth. It really is. And you know, this guy that's going to push and promote and mandate the homosexual agenda to those second graders, kindergartners. That will be part of the public education system in Colorado. And You know, I mean, the term Sodom and Gomorrah comes to mind. It really does. And that's going to be mandated, pushing and promoting the expanding greatly the recreational marijuana usage and market down there. And, you know, he tell me that doesn't appeal to the lawless and appeal to the sinner. That, you know, oh, we get more. And it appeals to those people that might be convicted of sin and know it, but they see this. Well, the leaders, the governors are okay with it, and they validate that it's okay, you know, to live in that sin. And it's just not. But it does. It attracts them.
I saw a story that makes total sense. It may have even been as far back as the 80s, but I thought it was the 90s. And it may have been when our pastor Peters, as a seer, understood that what the enemy's plan was, that once you get the camel's nose under the tent, then, you know, you just open the door to the immorality and destruction. And but because Colorado back in the day, in the 80s and the 90s, was conservative, and really I think we were one of the states who just basically said no to same-sex marriage. They tried to bring in those
at one time, yes,
petitions, as they do in California, you know, where they, but, you know, always it's the federal judge that overturns it. In fact, with the battle that the church had, even though that amendment went down in flames, the city council determined that it would be beneficial for the county and for the state, and or basically the county, and decided that they were going to overturn the will of the people. Well, there was enough people at that time who understood evil and went out and got enough signatures to overrule, veto basically, the power of the city council, so that the people's will stood in that election. But anyways, what the article I read was that some of the big money leftists, you know, that support the LGBTQ and all that, Stryker and what's his name, de Blasio, and all of those billionaires, they targeted Colorado to take it and to oppose their agenda in the state. And you know what? They've been successful. You can see the money that pours into these elections from all across the country. Look at Texas, that Beto. They said that they spent $100 million trying to get him elected. And by the grace of God, because he's compassionate, because he's patient, we still haven't totally lost the country to the Antichrist left. But I mean, the reality is we probably are pretty close to 51-49, you know, as far as those that fear God and those that don't. And in a lot of ways, I think it's partially our fault that we're falling asleep as the watchman over the house of Israel, maybe waking up, you know, a little late in the game. But the good news is that, you know, God's on our side, and as long as we continue to fight in the spiritual realm and somewhat in the physical realm, I'm still confident that he's not ready to, you know, allow the country to be defeated.
Amen. Amen. Well, and it was back in 1988, that city ordinance in Fort Collins that came up, and it was even before then that the Colorado... Yeah, that was the one that the Colorado for Family Values, which was a Colorado Springs group, collected like 85,000 signatures. They needed 49,000, and they collected 85,000 and submitted to the Colorado Secretary of State's office, wanting the state's constitution to provide no special protection for gays or lesbians. Now, that was back in the I think 91 that they did that. And so, you know, yeah, in the last, that's been a generation, you know, 91 to 2018, that's what, 27 years. That's a full generation.
But in 83.
And they've come.
83 when Laramie County.
Yeah, it might have been. It was in 88.
It had to be. That was the fight. Wasn't that the year of the fight, Jason?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
82, 83. Yeah. So that was when they first introduced it into Larimer County.
Yeah.
You're talking about the state. But
yeah,
Larimer
the state.
County tried that.
Right.
And Pastor Peters, as a seer, understood what they were
doing. Your phone a little closer to your mouth or something. It got muffled pretty bad there.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I have it.
Yeah,
that sounds better.
That's better.
Maybe I had my finger over the mic. Sorry about that. Yeah, it was Pastor Peters as a seer in 83, I believe it was, that fought the battle here in Larimer County. And, you know, knowing that once you give them, you know, an inch and they take a mile, and that's what's taking place.
Amen. Amen. And we do have a book along that line.
When I was, watching this, it was interesting. One of the things that was really interesting is it was really hard to get live updates for this this last midterm election. I don't know if anybody else
experienced
that, but it was not normal. It was, you had to go and you had to find, and you even after the fact, you had to go. They didn't want to talk about it. There was a lot of places that normally have that stuff published, and you can just click on there and you can see the live updates, and it's real easy. That wasn't so this year, but as I was watching it and looking at it, you know, it was, you know, did a lot of praying and was caught myself getting discouraged a couple of times. And, you know, I was praying and praying, and I had a couple other men that I was talking with, and we were praying together and talking with it. And there was a point where that discouragement really started to set in and everything, and I feel like the Lord just gave me some reassurance. And you know, I feel like the Lord told me it's going to turn out just the way I want it to turn out.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, and it's like, well, yeah, that's what we pray and that's what we believe if we're a Christian. And that's true. And we need to find comfort in that. And I felt really good after receiving that. And, you know, and that's the way it is. You know, I say we continue to fight it. And, you know, if there was fraud, absolutely we continue to fight it. But in the end, it's going to turn out just the way he wants it to turn out. He's going to give us just what we need. If it takes that harsher blow and that rod of iron coming down us, and he's going to use our enemies to get us to cry out to him, then that's what he'll use.
Yep.
Amen.
But the encouraging things, too, is this AG replacement is significant in
absolutely.
The 55,000 sealed indictments being served. And the military tribunals and all of those things that we reported on and we put in the last newsletter, that was a major key of the things that need to take place. And, you know, this is how God works, right? I mean, he works all things for good for those who love him, abide in him, and called by his purpose, Romans 8:28. But so we see this thing as losing the house as a big loss and a big, you know, discouragement and this and that. And but God sees the big picture.
Absolutely.
If all of this comes to fruition, like it's set to come to fruition, Lord willing, there are so many members of the House that are currently seated that will be indicted that it won't matter.
Right.
It won't matter that they have the House. And, you know, and you have to be able to see the big picture. You have to be able to see, that doesn't mean it's going to happen. It's all about, you know, faithfulness. Who's going to be more faithful to their God? And like I said, there's been times in the past where we're called into action to pray, to fast and to pray and to against certain things, and it's for a period of time. Well, we're past that. We're at a time now where it's constant, and you need to seek the Holy Spirit with an understanding, hearing, hearkening heart. Hear ye the Lord, and if he tells you to fast, then you fast. If he tells you to hit your knees and pray, then you hit your knees and pray. But the time of a reprieve from prayer is over. It needs to be constant, because the enemy, just like you said, Jason, the enemy is continuing to offer blood sacrifice. As long as there's still abortion in the land, they're still getting power from their God, not to mention the child sacrifices and things that are done in the dark that we don't know about, but we continue to pray, and the Lord continues to answer those prayers, that the things in the dark would be brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops. And one of the things that I think I'm being led
to do is get back into the Book of Enoch, and Lord willing, Sunday will be introduction to that, probably a series, because there's so much in that book that you know I've read it, you read it, a lot of people have read it, but have you really read it? You know, where you study it, and just like you do in the Bible, when you get to a book of the Bible or a chapter or verses, you know, where you dissect it and
right.
and look and see what was the purpose of this. And boy, I tell you what, you know, Daniel said, seal up these things until the proper time in the last days, and this may be it. This may be the proper time in the last days that we need to use all the resources that we've been given to continue to hunger and thirst for the truth. And you know what? God's promise is there that in the last days, knowledge would increase, and I believe it is increasing. So I'm pretty excited, really, about some of the things that I think the Lord is revealing in the Book of Enoch. And you know what? That book, if it was supposed to be in the Bible, and some say it was in the Bible for 500 years and removed, imagine that. But then it is the Word of God. And there's things in that book that we won't even see if we read it 10 years ago until the proper time.
Amen. Amen. Well, we carry that Book of Enoch. We've got it. So, folks, if you're listening in and you're not familiar with it, you can contact us, and we'll get that book out to you. And
Enoch was the grandfather of Noah.
Yes.
Just for a quick enlightenment. And it says he was the seventh generation from Adam. He lived in the seventh generation from Adam, and he walked with God for 300 years. So just those couple of little teasers to get you to whet your appetite to look deeper into that. And like I said, Lord willing, I think there's a series of messages that are going to come out on the Book of Enoch. I started doing a Bible study with my Wednesday morning prayer breakfast group about the Book of Enoch, and the group's growing. People are excited, you know. These are truths that have been kept from our people that give you greater understanding into the fallen angels, into angels, righteous and evil, and as well as the demons. And there's a whole lot of truth there that the enemy wanted to keep from our people, in my opinion.
Amen. Well, we do have the phone lines open this morning, folks. 307-745-5913. And, John, I can tell you we're looking forward to that. Looking forward to getting a little bit more into the Book of Enoch. And it sure seems like this may be the time. Like was said, you know, the time of fasting a little bit, praying a little bit, and then just kind of getting on with our lives may be over. Just like we read earlier, you know, the praying for our leaders so that we can lead a tranquil and quiet life. Well, it sure doesn't seem like right now is the time to be desiring or for a tranquil and quiet life. It's a time of turmoil. It's a time of battle. It's a time of war. You know, like we said, those lines are being drawn more and more, and the filth and the ungodliness is just being pushed in our faces more and more. And so it's, as Ecclesiastes says, there's a time for all things. There's a time for crying, there's a time for mourning, there's a time for peace, but there's also a time for war. And this spiritual war that we're in has certainly been ramped up, and we need to ramp it up on our side as well. Let's try the phone lines. Good morning, welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Good morning.
So, John is absolutely right about the Book of Enoch being canon. There wasn't an actual Bible in the very early days. They just had all the just separate books, and it was finally assembled into a Bible, you know, into like a one book format later down the road. But all, you know, if you go like into that dictionary of early Christian beliefs, and you look if you read through these, you know, one after another of these guys' writings, you'll find that every one of them thoroughly studied Enoch. They quote Enoch constantly. So, you know, anybody that would tell you, well, that wasn't part of anything, well, they're dead wrong, because, the, you know, all those earliest Christians were all studying Enoch. And whether it was in an assembled book with the other ones or not, just doesn't matter. They all studied it. They took it as you know, written in stone, as far as how they believed it.
Amen. They looked at it as accurate.
And there was something else, though. There's those other books that are still in the Catholic Bible that are not in most of the King James Bibles. And those were all part of canon, too. For some reason or other, the Protestants removed those other books from the later King James. The earlier King James versions had all those other books.
I have one. With the Apocrypha, The other thing was, from what I read and the research I've done, it was the Roman Catholic Church that determined that the canon of Enoch was not suitable to be in the Bible. And that alone is like, duh, as far as understanding who the enemy is and why they would keep that book from us. And I think once we get done with this study and this series, people will understand the importance and the significance of that book.
Amen.
I'm sorry, I think I talked while John was talking. I'm having trouble hearing him.
Yeah, John had just mentioned that it was the Roman Catholic Church that eventually pulled that out of the canon. So,
right, but both sections of the church, both the Catholics and the Protestants, are both guilty of pulling a lot of stuff out. I don't know if you heard me at what I was saying, though, but in some of those other books, that there was descriptions of these Israelites, of the 10 tribes that were, you know, out and over by around the Black Sea. There was one of those books where they were actually talking about them going up into Europe, up the what is now the Danube, but it was called something else in that early time. And I think that had something to do with that being removed out of there. And as far as Enoch goes, well, they, you know, a lot of the powers that he just didn't want you knowing about the fallen angels and the demons, that just wasn't for you to know that.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Yep.
That was the Apocrypha, I believe.
Yeah.
That's it. Yep. See, those books were all read, the Apocrypha was actually read and studied and part of canon in the early days.
Amen.
Yeah, and it might be time to get back into those and study them and get into the Book of Jasher and Jubilees and all of those books and do a thorough Bible study like we would in any other book of the Bible.
Amen. Well, caller, hey, thanks. Have a blessed weekend, and thanks for the input this morning. Thanks so much. Have a great day. 307-745-5913. And it is a time to be in prayer. We are seeing things new things. It's not that there's anything new under the sun, but we are seeing newer and greater things. The fires out in California, for example, just in the last 2 days, they've had this fire in Northern California that is now, and we've heard this how many times before? I remember our pastor preaching on this, the most destructive fire in California history. And they had several
biblical proportions.
Yes, several
biblical proportions.
Yep, and there were several when Pastor was alive, and he preached on them. The fires that were out there, and since then they have just grown in proportion. They have grown in devastation, and so now they had this campfire, is what they named it, campfire in Northern California, and it fired up I think Thursday, and in 16 hours it had burned 50,000 acres. Now we had a fire here last summer, this past summer, just in our we breathe smoke from it all year here at the ranch all summer, and it took it a month to burn 20,000 acres. Okay, it took it actually about 36 days to burn 20,000 acres. This fire in California in 16 hours burned 50,000 acres. They're saying the town of Paradise, California is basically gone. It had grown to 140 square miles by yesterday, 140 miles one way, and then 140 miles the other way, and then 140 miles square. Paradise gone. An estimated 6,500 homes and 300 commercial structures have been destroyed. Another 15,000 are threatened. It is, John, like you said, biblical proportions. When you read the articles, people were just trying to get out in their vehicles. They had to just pull their vehicles over. Some left them right in the middle of the road. Got out and ran with their babies to keep from getting burned up. And some didn't. There's at least 9 fatalities attributed to this. 4 of those were people found in their cars trying to get away, and the flames overtook them. I heard some of the dispatch that they were talking, and it was just it was heartbreaking. But you hear, you know, and they're calling in and saying, hey, we've got people trapped in the basement at the hospital. The ER is on fire and they're trapped in the basement. And then another sheriff's deputy comes on and says, we still have children at the Pee Wee daycare. They're trapped at the Pee Wee daycare. It's surrounded by flames. And then another one, well, the Sunrise Nursing Home has 24 non-ambulatory patients. We need to try to get these people out. And so, biblical proportion. And as of yesterday, they had said it's going to burn to the ocean. And so the town of Chico, California, was under evacuation. They were hoping to divert it around there. And then even down in, that's in Northern California. And then, I don't know California that well, but I read as well, see, there's another fire. There's another fire in Southern California that they've evacuated. They've called for evacuations of Malibu. Now that's the hoity-toity place. That's where the big Hollywood idols all have their places. The Sheens and the Kardashians and all these big supposed to-dos. And when fire comes, it is non-discriminatory. And so we are seeing this. People describing having to drive through 12-foot flames to get out of this, and so folks, it last year in December, California had the latest record-setting catastrophic fires last year in December and January that rolled into January of this year, and so here we are, and they have it again, and you know, His word judges. And it does, and we have seen we've certainly prayed for those that in California for their protection, for those that are His, for those that call on the name of Jesus Christ, because that is His name, and for those that call on His name that know Him, and that He knows, we have certainly prayed for their protection, and He will protect those, but again, the term Sodom and Gomorrah comes to mind. We kind of started out with that this morning.
God's going to bring you to your knees to repentance one way or the other.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, there's a lot of good people in California, a lot of God-fearing good people, and that's exactly what we need to be praying, is for protection for those people. But there's a lot of people that... they don't believe in God. They don't. They don't fear God. And one of them is the crazy governor, Jerry Moonbeam.
Yep.
And you know, you can only, God's not mocked. You know, and the reality is they've made almost a career out of mocking God and taunting Him, really. And boy, I tell you what, that's a dangerous place to be. And he said he wasn't going to flood the earth. He said he'd burn it up next time. And
yep.
You can see that there's areas in the, in this country that are being burned up.
Amen. I think we got time for one more caller. Let's try that, John, if we can. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, man.
Hey, good morning.
So I've been in this Book of Enoch, and I found a prayer in chapter 9 is from the angels against the fallen angels, but we can tweak it to our time, and I thought I would share it. And it says, sure. Thou art Lord of lords, God of gods, King of kings. The throne of thy glory is forever and ever, and forever and ever is thy name sanctified and glorified. Thou art blessed and glorified. Thou hast made all things. Thou possessest power over all things, and all things are open and manifest before thee. Thou beholdest all things, and nothing can be concealed from thee. Lord, you have seen the wickedness of our people, the wickedness of our rulers. Lord, and we lay all these sins before you. They oppress your people in our country. Thus has the whole world been filled with blood and with iniquity, and now behold, the souls of those who are dead cry out and complain, even to the gate of heaven. Their groaning ascends, nor can they escape from the unrighteous which is committed on earth. Thou knowest all things before they exist. Thou knowest these things and what has been done by them, yet thou dost not speak to us. What on account of these things ought we to do to them? And I just say, Lord, we hold these things up to you and await for your guidance, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother.
So, yeah, that prayer really stuck out to me.
Absolutely. It's a powerful prayer.
Amen. Amen.
Anyhow, you men have a good day.
All right, you too.
Thank you.
Okay.
Wow, that was powerful.
Maybe that time that Daniel told us about.
Maybe. Absolutely. We are certainly seeing things that are... Go ahead, John.
The other thing the Book of Enoch does is it identifies the specific fallen angels by name, are the ones who came and taught man sorcery and all of these different things, basically witchcraft. And it also identifies the angels that God sent to deal with the situation. And just as another teaser, think of this. Enoch was the one that the fallen angels petitioned to go before God and to ask for grace and mercy and compassion on the acts that they committed on the earth, and God said no. So remember that. Those fallen angels, there is no repentance, there is no salvation, there is nothing but eternal damnation, and those are the ones that do everything they can to win people over to their God's kingdom, Lucifer, Satan. And our job as Christians, as the true followers of Jesus Christ, as the Jedi, is to do everything that we can. Our whole purpose is to do all that we can to spread the Great Commission, share the gospel, and to win as many of those to the kingdom of Jesus Christ as we can. That's the bottom line. It's good versus evil, and it's coming down to choose ye this day who you shall serve. If Baal be God, serve Baal. But if the Lord be God, then serve the Lord.
Amen.
As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. But that's where we're at, and it's exciting times.
Amen. Amen. Well, regarding time, we're about out of it this morning. That's coming to the end of our hour. Jason, didn't know if you wanted to wrap up with anything to leave the people with this morning. So, folks, we do want to invite you to church tomorrow. We'll be there starting at 8:30 Mountain Time. That's 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and 7:30 out there on the West Coast. That's available, able to join us. And we'll start off. We'll have a good bit for you tomorrow. And we always look forward to the fellowship and the praise and worship and the learning. It gives us a chance to to move away from the world, to step away from the shootings and the fires and the election and all of that, and to concentrate just at least for a few hours on our God, on what He has for us, on the words that He has for us, certainly on what our Lord and Savior did for us at the cross of Calvary. And we'll partake of communion, and we will remember what He did. And so we encourage you to join us. You can join us on the shortwave. You can join us. I think we've got the website back up, so we'll have the streaming there. And so you can join us there. You can even call in on the call-in lines and listen in. And so we encourage you to not forsake the assembly. We are thankful to our pastor that in his wisdom he saw a way to do this. And I think we were one of the very first church services to stream live, not just to record and take it down to the TV station, but to stream live. And pastor saw that as a way for the fellowship, for the people to come together in your homes, in communities, but to come together and praise and worship our God. And so we do that tomorrow. Like we always do. If you're going to join us in person, please let us know. We'd sure appreciate that. That'd be a nice common courtesy. But you can join us on the internet. You can join us on the shortwave, on your iPhone, and we'd sure enjoy having you there. And so we encourage you to do that. If you want to contact us, our address, Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. We thank all of those that support us, that send your tithes and donations in. That is what allows us to pay the power bill and to keep the shortwave on and the internet and everything else. And so we appreciate that. We appreciate you partnering with us in continuing to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out to the remnant, to the truth junkies that are out there that desire the truth. And so thanks
Along those lines, if you supported us through PayPal has determined that we are no longer viable to be a client. They've cut us off completely. They've actually confiscated or at least tied up funds that were in process for a minimum of 90 days, and then you can actually try to claim those funds. So if you were supporting this ministry through PayPal, we really, really need you to support us through sending your checks to La Porte, Colorado, P.O. Box 766, Scriptures for America. If you need that address, you can get a hold of the office, or if you have a newsletter, it's in the newsletter. But
yes,
we need you to support us through sending your checks directly to the ministry. PayPal has come against many truth-bearing organizations, many Christian organizations. They started with Alex Jones and basically blackballed him, and the Antichrist, because they do have such a position in media and in banking and in financial institutions, are using that as a weapon against those that would dare proclaim the truth and expose the enemy. So that's all I want to say. Thank you. God bless you all. Appreciate it.
Amen.
Rolling, 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 rolling,
rolling,
stay
kind. Ha! Ha! Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay kind. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, stay high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
stay high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high.
try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.